51. The book of Jeremiah, one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. You'll find it about three quarters of the way through, a little over halfway through the Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Find Jeremiah chapter 51. I'm going to read two verses this morning, verse 15 and 16. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 15 and 16. I'd encourage you to follow along if you would in your Bible as I read aloud. Jeremiah 51, verse 15 and 16. Here the Bible reads, "He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom, and hath stretched out the heaven by His understanding. When He uttereth His voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. And He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of His treasures." I want to preach a message this morning that I have entitled, "When God Flexes His Muscles." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, we thank You for this service and that which our ears have already heard and eyes have seen. We thank You for those that are visiting with us and pray, God, You'd help us to be a blessing and encouragement to them here this morning. We pray for the preaching of Your Word now, that, Father, You would unite our hearts together around Your Word. Lord, we pray that You and Your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be exalted and lifted up. We pray, God, we would give You the honor and the glory that is due Your name. We pray most of all, should there be one today that is empty inside, does not have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that, Father, You'd speak to that heart especially, show them Your love, show them that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, and, Father, show them that You're willing and wanting to save them if they would invite Christ into their heart today. Bless Your Word to each and every heart. Give us something today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jeremiah 51, I want you to look in verse 16. I want to point out five things in this verse this morning. And I've underlined them in my Bible. If you write in your Bible, you might want to underline these things. If not, just make a note of it. But these things are this. In verse 16, "When He uttereth His voice, there is, first of all, a multitude of waters." A multitude of waters. Now just let that, I hate to use this pun, sink in for just a moment. And then secondly, it says, "He causeth the vapors." The vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. Thirdly, "He maketh lightnings." And fourth, "with rain." And then lastly, "and bringeth forth the wind out of His treasures." So if you've made note one way or another of those five things, they are simply this: multitude of waters, vapors, lightnings, rain, and wind. And I would point out that it says in verse 16, "When He uttereth His voice, there is." Now, who is the He? Well, we go back to verse 15. "He made the earth by His power." And in case you can't identify that He by that statement, we go back to verse 14 then. "The Lord of hosts." So according to the context of the Word of God, it is God Himself that uttered His voice, and when He does, there is a multitude of waters, there are vapors, there are lightnings, there are rain, and there are winds. In the past few weeks, two things have happened in our nation that have demanded our attention. The first of these was Hurricane Harvey that came up through the Gulf of Mexico and landed in and around Houston, Texas. And the devastation that was done by that wind and multitude of waters and rain was so great. The winds were listed as a Category 4 as far as storms are rated and categorized, which brought heavy, high winds into that area. There was rain. In fact, they say there was 40 inches of rain in 4 days in the Houston area, and as much as 51 inches of rain in that time period in some other areas around there. So there were winds, there was rain, and there was a multitude of waters. the flooding that took place flooded out hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses in the Houston area. 30,000 people were displaced by the rains, the winds, and the flooding. In fact, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas estimated the damages from the flooding alone and the wind at $150 to $180 billion. 17,000 people were rescued. Many of us got to see on television or on the internet the occasions where people were rescued from their cars as they were caught in the flood or in their homes. 17,000 rescues were made in that four-day period, that short period, as that flooding hit around that area. And sadly, 82 people died as a result of Hurricane Harvey. Now, no sooner had that passed and that was over, and they were telling us that another hurricane was on its way through the Caribbean and about to make land and come up into Florida. And it started southeast of Florida, coming up through the Caribbean, but then actually went to the west of Florida and hit it more than any, but then curved again northeast so that all of the state of Florida was affected by Hurricane Irma. Miami, Tampa, all of Florida, even into Georgia and South Carolina, its devastation was felt. It came with fierce winds, as Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 51. It came with a multitude of waters. We saw the abundance of flooding that took place in the Florida area. 350,000 homes were flooded and businesses. Power was out for almost all of the state of Florida. 6 million people evacuated the state because of the warnings that that storm was coming. And again, as the storm in Texas, sad to say, 26 people in Florida lost their lives. If you watch the news, that does not include the 8 that were in a nursing home that lost electrical power and folks died because of that. But even beside that, 26 in Florida, and then 4 in South Carolina, and 3 in Georgia. One man in Georgia up on his roof during the storm, trying to patch things up, and a tree branch came down, a tree limb came down and killed him. All the devastation, all the things that were done by these two simple storms in a short 3-week period of time. And both these storms so captivated our nation that the news coverage was around the clock. Other programs, even last Sunday, football games, were preempted while the news stations showed their reporters down in Florida hanging on the rails and reporting about the rain. And I always get a kick out of that. They have to have young guys do that, because anybody with any age is too smart to stick around when the hurricane's coming. And they're grabbing onto the rails and the wind's blowing and you can see the trees and the rain's coming down. And you know what they tell us? The wind is blowing and the rain is coming down. And they're risking their lives to stay there long enough and their crews to stay there and tell us that. But with all the reporting that went on, we saw and we heard all there was to see and hear about these two hurricanes. Every iota of information that could be given was given. Those that knew what they were talking about and those that had no idea what they were talking about all gave us commentaries on these two storms and its devastation and everything surrounding them. But in all the talk, one thing was missing. In all the conversation, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, talking about these storms and postulating everything they could possibly think of to talk about it, that there was one thing that was noticeably and sadly absent. I want you to turn your Bible to Psalm chapter 10, because I want you to see this verse. I think if ever there's a verse in the Bible that accurately describes our day and our time, and especially it is emphasized in these situations, it's Psalm chapter 10 and verse number 4. Psalm 10 and verse number 4. It says this: "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God." Now that statement is true, and it really defines our day and our time right now. The wicked, because of the pride of his countenance. I don't need God. The wicked, because of the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. But notice the last line. God is not in all his thoughts. Among the wicked, they can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They can hear and see everything that happens in the world. Whether natural or unnatural, supernatural, regular, whatever it is, they see everything, and not one moment, not one instant do they ever think there's a God. God is not in all their thoughts. So it's not surprising, I guess, with all the news coverage and all the things that went on, that there was never a mention of the arm of God. Never a mention of God's hand or his finger. Never a mention, as Jeremiah says, as uttering his voice, followed by a multitude of waters and rains and thunderings and vapors. We were given explanations as to the cause of some of that devastation. The natural explanation was given, and that's simply this. It was just Mother Nature at her worst, unleashing all her fury and her power on these two states and these two areas. Some would go farther and say it was just a normal cycle of hurricane patterns that come at that time of year, and you can't really predict it. But it's just a natural cycle that comes. The last time this happened was 12 years ago in 2005, where we had this strength of storms. But all the conversation about the natural realm of how these things happen. Of course, there was also the scientific explanation, and that is simply that trade winds interact with the ocean current, which has a cyclonic effect. And that is the cause, that is the sole cause, that is the reason for these things happening. And as you know, they've postulated the ever-popular theory that all of this was caused by climate change. I always get a chuckle out of science and things like that, and one group is saying that the storms were caused by climate change. The other group said that the reason the storm died out so quickly over the land is because climate change helped the storm to dissipate. So one group said it caused it, the other group said it stopped it, and I'm thinking if they just put the credit in the right place, they'd have this thing understood and figured out. With all of the conversation and all the theories postulated, there was never a supernatural explanation given. And the reason for that, of course, is obvious. It's not politically correct. If some talking head on ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, Fox News, name it, if one of them had got up and said, "We believe that the source and the reason of this storm is God Almighty," they would have been ridiculed, they would have been mocked, and more than likely, they would have lost their jobs. And so, for the sake of journalism, they talk about the natural explanation and the scientific explanation, but never give a supernatural explanation. God is not in all their thoughts. I guess it's not surprising because even many leading evangelical leaders back off from suggesting that God could have anything to do with it. Now these are pastors and Bible teachers and church leaders, and they will say that, they will admit that it is the God that created the winds and the rains and the waters. But in their thinking, though God created them, God does not control them. In their thinking, God in the past made these things, but now leaves them to their own natural cycles and is not involved at all in what happens in the natural realm. The problem with that is this. And that's usually the problem with any of the theories of modern society. Because God is not in all their thoughts, and they can't give him the benefit of a doubt or credit for anything, they are going to look for natural explanation. They're going to look for scientific explanation because that's all they know. Did the God that created the winds, the rain, and the waters, can He control them also? Well, if you know your Bible, you know that in Genesis chapter 19, it was God that rained down fire and brimstone on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and decimated them to such an extent that they're complete ash and now are underneath the waters of what is the Dead Sea. That fire, that rain of fire and brimstone was not a natural phenomenon. It definitely caused a change in climate, but it wasn't a result of climate change. It was the hand, the finger, the arm of God being exercised upon those two cities. And it was God that caused the fire and the brimstone to rain down from heaven. Not only that, but we read back in Genesis chapter 9 about the flood of Noah's day. And it was God that caused it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. It was God. I'll emphasize that because you'll not hear that anywhere else. It was God that caused it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. At such a rate of rainfall that not only was the rain coming down from above, but the Bible says the fountains of the deep, the fountains of the earth were opened up, and with water coming from above and water coming up from below, the accountant background in me likes to do the numbers, and I look up the highest mountain on earth is Mount Everest, and I take the height of that mountain and divide it by 40 days to find out how much it had to rain per day to put Mount Everest underwater. Just the tip of it. And then I take that number and divide it by the number of hours in a day, and I find out that if my numbers are right, that it rained at Noah's day, water coming down from above and water coming up from below, that it went up at a rate at 30 feet per hour. 30 feet per hour. I break that down a little farther. That's a half inch per minute. So I was sitting in my office thinking about these, and I thought, well, you know, if a half inch of water got in my office, I would be concerned, but I wouldn't be real worried. If after 1 minute's time it was 1 inch of water, I'd say, you know, what's going on? There's a leak somewhere, or the pipe's broke. I need to find out. After about 4 or 5 minutes, as it gets up to 4 or 5, 6 inches, I'm a little bit concerned, and not shortly after that, I'm out of that office real quick. And you can imagine in Noah's day as the waters rose up, as the fountains of under, the water underneath, they tell us that our church building is sitting on a water table. And before we had a dry basement job done downstairs, every time it rained hard here, water would come up underneath our building and get the downstairs floor wet. And in Noah's day, the water came up from that water table underneath as well as coming down from above. And the Bible makes it very clear that it was God who did that. It wasn't a seasonal rain. It wasn't climate change. It was God that did it. God controls nature. God is the one who sends storms. Not only is God the one that sends storms, but God's the one that stops storms. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, God in a human body, who stood on the Sea of Galilee while the winds were boisterous and the waves were rolling, a storm like those commercial fishermen had never seen before. And as they were fearful for their lives, they were, the Bible says, toiling in rowing. Jesus simply said, "Peace, be still." And all became calm. It's not climate change that causes the hurricane. It's not climate change that prevents further damage from the hurricane. It is God Himself who both sends the storms and stops the storms. Now, let's address the so-called elephant in the room. If it is God that controls the weather, if it is God who sends the hurricanes, then the question we need to ask ourselves is, why? And again, that's why the natural realm and the scientific realm have all the explanations outside of God. They don't need to ask why. There is no reason. It's just chance. But if we believe that it is God that controls the weather, as the Bible seems to clearly indicate, and that He is the one that sends the rain and the multitude of waters and the vapors and the lightnings and the winds, then the question is, why does He do it? Now, many have tried to tell us exactly why God sent Hurricane Harvey to Houston, Texas. Why Hurricane Irma has attacked Florida. And I'm here to tell you this morning that I have no idea why those two hurricanes hit those two different places. God didn't feel the need to share that information with me. He didn't consult me before He did that. Because He's God. He's the one that's in control. He does what He wants to. I'm always amused by those who claim that they know exactly what they don't know. Trying to read into God's behavior what they perceive Him to be doing. We've got to be very careful when we try to do that. I cannot tell you the reason. I can't say, I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that the reason this storm hit Houston, the reason this storm hit Miami and Tampa and Florida is this or that. I don't know that. But here's what I do know. I do know why God sent the storms that He sent in the past. In fact, I even know why God's going to send the storms He's going to send in the future. We'll talk about that later. But if we can look at why God did what He did before, it kind of gives us a clue as why He's doing what He's doing right now. Look back, if you would, at Genesis chapter 6. Let's look at why God did what He did before. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. We're looking at the days preceding that great flood we just talked about of Noah's day, where the water rose possibly at the rate of 30 feet per minute, or excuse me, 30 feet per hour, and flooded out the whole world other than Noah, his wife, Noah's three sons, and their three wives. It wasn't done by some rocks that turned into transformer monsters. If you saw the advertisement for the latest Hollywood movie about that stuff, you'll know what I'm talking about. I didn't see the movie, but I saw the advertisements. But in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says this, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Go down to verse 11. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, to the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." It is God that sent the flood of Noah's day. And the reason God sent that flood was because of the wickedness of mankind. Say, preacher, are you telling me that that's why God sent these hurricanes to these places? I can't know that for sure. But I know He's done that before. You say, well, why would He send it to Houston? Why would He send it to Miami? I mean, there's innocent people that are there, and that's true. Down in Houston, Texas, we have a man that we pray for, and we pray for churches every Sunday, a different church. We pray for Danny Farley and his church down in Houston, Texas. And during the storm, they were flooded out and they experienced loss. You say, well, would God send a judgment? Would God send a storm that would affect the evil people, the wicked people, and the good people too? Let me read to you Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. I'll give you that answer. Instead of my answer, I'll give you God's answer. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, the Bible says this, He maketh His sun, S-U-N, He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. When God displays His power through an act of nature, He cannot separate His people from those that are not His. And we experience the same things. So yes, though it be God that sent it, He could have sent it even among those in Florida, those in Houston, that were saved people, were good people, were church-going people. Yes, they were affected too. Because when God flexes His muscles, it affects the whole earth. We talked about the other place that God rained down fire and brimstone, and that was Sodom and Gomorrah. And those two cities, the Bible tells us in Genesis 18 and verse 20, they were destroyed, Genesis 18, 20, because their sin is very grievous. Because their sin is very grievous. Now, I will mince no words in telling you what the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was. It was homosexuality. It was same-sex marriage. Now, I know that's not popular in our day and not something that people are supposed to talk about, but I like swimming upstream. I like going against the current. And God rained down fire and brimstone. God rained it down. It wasn't climate change. It wasn't a natural effect. It wasn't a phenomenon of nature. It was God that rained it down because their sin was grievous. Now, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know why God sends these storms. One of the last very devastating storms that were sent was the hurricane that came named Katrina that hit New Orleans. And what little I know about New Orleans, I know it's the home of the French Quarter. And I know the revelry and the wickedness and the ungodliness and the nakedness and all that that happens there. It could be that God sent that storm because of that reason. Now, I can't stay here and tell you that's why He sent it because, again, God did not confide in me. But I can tell you that that's the reason He has sent those things before, and it could be the reason now. You say, I don't agree with it. That's fine, but you need to at least consider it, that it is a possibility. The storm that hit Houston, Texas, some are saying, well, it's because the mayor of Houston is a woman married to a woman. And in Houston, the preachers that preached against that, once she became the mayor, she subpoenaed all of their sermons to examine those sermons to see what preachers had preached against her behavior. Fortunately, that was struck down. She wasn't able to get away with it. But that kind of ungodliness, some say, that's the reason Houston was affected. I don't know that. I can't say that. And I'm taken back by those that know 100% for sure that's the reason. You don't know that. You're not God. But I know this. You can't take it off the table. You can't absolutely say it's not the reason. We don't know. Why would it hit Florida? I don't know. But you know what I haven't heard talked about? You know what's in the back of my mind? Sometimes when God sends a storm, it's for deliverance. It's to prevent further wickedness. And I don't think it's a mystery to tell you that the greatest port of incoming illegal drugs is Miami, Florida, and southern Florida, which usually comes many times in through the Caribbean and that area. And again, I don't know, but it's always a possibility that God sent these terrible storms to prevent further wickedness in these areas. He's done it before. He could have done it this time also. So I'm not here. I don't want you to go out after church today and say, well, you know what? The preacher told us that the reason the storms hit Houston and Florida is this. I didn't say that was the reason. I said it's a possibility. I'm not going to say anything definite unless I know this Bible definitely says it. When it says salvation is by grace through faith, you can write my words down when I say that. When it says the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again, you can quote me anytime you want to. But when we're postulating on things that we don't know for sure, please don't go out and say, the preacher said this. I'll say, no, I didn't. I said, it's a possibility that those things happened for that reason. But we don't really know. Look at the book of Jonah, if you would. If you can find it. It's always a tough one. If you had Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, then you get the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Jonah. I might have even got that list wrong right there. I don't know. But it's in there. Just find it there. Turn your few pages. But look at the book of Jonah. Right after the real big book of Obadiah. 20 verses long. The book of Jonah. You know what happened in the book of Jonah, don't you? God spoke to His man, His prophet Jonah, and said, arise and go to Nineveh and preach against it. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it the preaching that I bid you. We don't have time to develop this story, but it's a wonderful story. Jonah woke up and said, I don't want to go to Nineveh. Sounds like a 4-year-old kid. God says, arise, go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, so he got on a boat and he went to Tarshish instead. You know, when you're running from God, there's no place safe. You can be in an armored vehicle, and it can flip over. And Jonah is running from God. God had given him a direction. God had said, here's where I want you to go. And Jonah decided he wasn't going to obey God. He wasn't going to go God's direction. He's going to go his own way. So he got on a ship to Tarshish. If you're out of the will of God, can I recommend don't get on a boat? If you're out of the will of God, don't get on an airplane, especially with me. If you're out of the will of God, please wait for the next flight. Don't go while I'm on there. I would recommend, if you're out of the will of God, I wouldn't even get in the car. I'd watch my step where you're walking. But Jonah got on a boat to flee from God. And I just want you to notice chapter 1 and verse 4 of the book of Jonah. While he's on that ship crossing that sea, Jonah chapter 1 verse 4 says this, but the Lord, you got that? But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. You got that? It was the Lord that sent out a great wind. It is God who controls nature. It is God who controls the wind. In the book of Revelation, during the terrible tragedies that happen on the earth, in one point, I believe it's Revelation chapter 8, God sends the angels to the four corners of the earth to stop the winds for a brief period of time. It is God that controls them. And with Jonah sailing peacefully across that ship, running and turning away from God, God sent out a great wind to the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea. And the sailors and the commercial Navy men that were there tried to lighten the ship of everything, did everything they could humanly possibly do to try to save that ship, and they couldn't do it because the wind and the tempest was greater than anything they could handle. And it was sent by God. And if you know the story, it was sent to change the direction of Jonah. God sends these mighty natural acts as punishment for wickedness and evil. He also sends them for correction, for redirection. I don't know why God sent these storms at this time to these places. I know they're monitoring now Hurricane Jose, which might possibly hit the New England states. And I don't know why God sends them, but I know this, our nation needs redirection. Our nation needs correction. And just as He sent it in the days of Jonah, He can send it again today to get America to consider the direction that we're going. It's not a good direction. To get us turned around, to get us corrected while there is yet hope. I want you to look at one more passage. The book of Amos. All right, if you're in Jonah, just turn back a few pages, and right before Obadiah is Amos. Just considering some things, and this is not exhaustive by any stretch of the imagination, some things that the Bible declares to show to us that it is God that controls the storms. It's not God that selectively controls one or two here and there, but He controls all of weather. And in Amos chapter 4, I want you to see verse 7. Amos chapter 4 and verse 7. And also I have withholden the rain from you where there was yet 3 months to the harvest. Notice this. I caused it to rain upon one city, and I caused it not to rain upon another city. Notice again, who caused it? God said, I caused it to rain on one city. I caused it not to rain on another city. While Florida and Texas are being bombarded with rain from above and floodwaters coming in from around them, a multitude of waters, and wanting things to dry up, over in Montana and Idaho and California and Washington, there is such a dry drought that they're wishing they could have the water that's coming from Houston and Florida. God says, I cause it to rain where it rains, and I cause it not to rain where it's not raining, and it's God that's in control of everything. So what do we do when these things happen? We pray. Because we recognize who it is that's in control of these things. Notice there in Amos chapter 4. Notice a phrase that pops up 5 times in the context of what God's talking about sending and withholding this rain. He says at the end of verse number 6, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Look at the end of verse 8. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Look at the end of verse 9. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. The end of verse 10. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. The end of verse 11. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. You know what the Lord is doing in Amos chapter 4? He's sending one trial after another, one tempest after another, one storm after another. And His whole purpose is to get the people to return back to Him. Here's the sad part of the story. For 3 weeks we hear all about the storms, every detail, every iota, without any mention of God. And then when it's over, for a brief period of time, we'll remember it a little while, but the news cycle changes so quickly that whatever is happening next is the next thing that dominates our time, and we never stop and ponder on what has already happened. Again, that's the theme of modern day entertainment and television. For you to sit down before the newscast and in 40 seconds you get what you're supposed to hear about this, then it moves on and you move on too, and you never stop to think. We're being force-fed information. We never stop to think about what we've just heard. And the news cycle will take us to Melania's shoes, to a collusion between Russia and the United States. It'll take us to anything we need to get our minds away off of what we ought to be. Why did these storms happen? Why did these things occur? God, teach us. God, what is it You want us to know? What is it You want? It never enters our thought. God is not in all their thoughts. That's the sad part. Now the scary part. In the book of Revelation, in events that are yet future to you and I right now in 2017, there are 3 cataclysmic events that are going to happen. that far surpass anything we've seen in recent days. There are going to be winds and rains and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes far beyond anything the world has ever seen before. And according to the Word of God, which gets it right every time, these things are going to happen on a worldwide scale three more times in the not too distant future. In fact, one of those times in Revelation chapter 6, if you read about it, the storm is so bad that mountains are being moved out of their places and cast into the seas. And men are running into caves and the dens of the earth and asking for the rocks to fall upon them to save them from that terrible storm and judgment. Somebody will say this, these hurricanes that are coming, these hurricanes, are they the judgment of God? And listen carefully. I would say this, no. They're not the judgment of God. They're just a shot over the bow. They're not the judgment of God. That's just God flexing His muscles. But the judgment of God is coming. And these things we're seeing today are just warning signs of what God is capable and able to do. That's scary. That these things that we have no technology against, isn't it humbling to watch these storms coming up into Texas and into Florida and up through the New England and realize that there's absolutely nothing anybody can do? With all of our advanced technology, with all of our might and our military and our strength and everything we've got, and we can't do anything to redirect or turn or stop a storm that's just swirled up by the finger of God. But instead of humbling ourselves, man will not seek after God because of the pride of his countenance. And God is not in all his thoughts. Would you just think this with me next time you see the storms, even here in Guernsey County and Cambridge and Baysville, when you see those storm clouds rolling in, recognize who it is that has the power to move those clouds? Who sends them in and who dissipates them when they're gone? When the rain comes, you understand who the source of the rain is. When it's sunny and nice out, recognize who the source. Give God glory and credit for everything that He's doing because He's the one that's doing it. And don't fall into the trap of modern society of looking for natural explanations and scientific explanations and reasonable explanations when the explanation lies with God. I would not want to have been in Florida. I'd been the first one out. You'd have not caught me boarding up my house. You'd have caught me heading out of Dodge. I don't know if there's a city named Dodge in Florida, but I'd have been out. And that's one reason I have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Because I'm not stupid enough to be so brave to challenge God in His judgment. There's a place called hell. It's full of fire. I didn't want to go there. I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. There are three judgments to come on this earth that will shake every single human being to their core. And they will wish, beyond wish, that they didn't have to be here for it. And they will. All of this is simply God showing His power and His might. The Bible says in Hebrews, our God is a consuming fire. You might say, I don't fear anything. A man that doesn't fear anything is a fool. If you don't fear God, if you don't fear His judgment, if you don't fear His mighty arm, you're not fearless, you're foolish. When God flexes His muscles, let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you put your faith and trust in Him to be delivered, the Bible says, from the wrath to come? As bad as these things have been, as bad as these storms, the worst is yet to come. Father, speak to hearts this morning. God, the message this morning is not to frighten, not to scare, but Father,